You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Alrighty, joining us now is Australia's latest Grey Cup winner. He's a pro kick legend that's now plying his trade in the CFL. And what can only be described as an unbelievable determination to make it. Number 36 for the Montreal Alouettes, Mr. Joey Zima. How are you, mate?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, mate, we appreciate you giving up your time. It's a Saturday night over there. You're obviously partying pretty hard at home with the wife and the young man. How is it over there, mate?
Yeah, doing well. It's the off season, so I just try and be a dad and a husband as much as I can. So you obviously just hang out with her side of the family and a couple of friends, but with a month to go until training camp, it's really all systems go with workouts and punting and making sure I'm in red hot form for the start of camp and then the start of the season.
Yeah, we will get into the season, but when is the start of the CFL season?
I believe our first game is June 6th or 7th. We're actually opening against Winnipeg at Winnipeg. So the Grey Cup rematch is straight up. They didn't muck around with it. So, first week of June.
Yeah, perfect. So you're right in the thick of it. And like you said, not far away from camp, which is exciting, I'm sure. One thing I always like to start with, just a little bit of an icebreaker and get inside your head, mate. Just three people that you would have at a dinner party from any time, any place, just the kind of people that you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, I thought of two so far. Way back, I reckon Elvis Presley would be a cool one. Being a Carlton fan, I'd love to have a dinner with Anthony Koutafidis.
Nice.
And the third one's got me stumped still. Maybe we can come back to it and I'll let you know. But those two, I think they'd be pretty interesting. Couple of interests there.
I don't think we've had Kuda, have we, Danny?
I don't know if we've had Elvis. I reckon that's two from two. Two from two unique picks. Love it.
Kuda or Chris Judd? I reckon Kuda.
Well, I'll let them both in. There's the three. Juddy, I reckon Juddy would be a great chat. He's a lot smarter than he portrays. Yeah, I like him. As a fellow man that's going bald, I reckon we'd have a lot in common.
There you go.
So you were a Melbourne-born lad. Were you the typical footy in the winter, cricket in the summer kind of kid growing up?
Yeah, I was. Since I could remember, pretty much. Even played a bit of basketball up until I probably started high school. So, footy in the winter, cricket in the summer up until probably my last 2 years of high school and I gave up cricket. It was, get to the point where you're standing out in the field for, 6 or 7 hours in the sun and you realize all your friends are at the beach. And, I was enjoying it, but I was liking footy a bit more and I thought I'd focus on that for a couple of years. So, that kind of, led me on the path where I am now a little bit.
And how long did you play footy for? Was it up until roughly the age of 22? And then how far did you get? And then what was the turning point to get into footy?
Yeah, I was about 22, I think. I think I turned 23 when I landed here in San Antonio. So I think I was just playing footy for 4 or 5 years. Had a tryout at the Oakley Chargers under 18s. Made the cut before the final team. Then I went to play footy at Blackburn for a bit. Managed to get on the Box Hill reserves list for a couple of years there. I think I played one or two games. So, on the list, but not really playing, mainly playing in the Blackburn ones and reserves. And like you said, getting to 22 years old, draft age is 18. So kind of had to realize that I'd passed it a little bit and just wasn't making the teams and, getting to the ranks that I wanted to. So I just Googled a punting academy and Pro Kick popped up and messaged Chappie and Johnny. And at the end of 2016, had my first tryout in 2017, in January. And of August 2017, I was landed in San Antonio, getting ready for my first American football game.
And how was that experience dealing with Chappie and Johnny and the lads of Pro Kick?
Yeah, it was awesome, to be honest. That was back in 2017, so there was maybe 15 to 20 of us back then, not like the 50 I see now on Instagram stories. It was really awesome and, you kind of train with the same guys and build a bit of a rapport with those and You know, you still keep track of everybody. So the whole process was, you know, just completely different to anything that you can compare in Melbourne, learning, trying to learn about colleges and how the whole university system works over there was just the start. And then got to learn a whole different game. You know, you can learn how to kick a little bit better, and then you've got to learn when to actually run on the field and when to run off the field and all the little details of things. And they did a great job of, you know, explaining all of that and obviously turning a lot of punters into, you know, pros now.
You never, that's one thing I don't think I've ever really thought about is even just knowing, oh shit, it's our turn. I better run on the field and it's my turn to actually go and do what I'm meant to do. Like just the little nuances that you don't think of before you get there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, I started training in January and 8 months later I was out of practice. I didn't have the chance to go to the States beforehand like some of the guys do now to, you know, walk around a campus and watch a practice. So I'd watch games, watch NFL games, watch some college games. But until you're standing on the sidelines, you know, you got to practice. And, you know, practice is 2 to 2.5 hours sometimes. So you, as a specialist, you're kind of standing on the sideline. You've got to wait till you kick and learning about how to warm up and when to warm up and cool down or not to cool down. So it's honestly all those things you had to kind of learn on the go as I was there. So it's definitely, it was a whirlwind going over there for sure.
So did you know about the NFL and things like that growing up? Did you follow it? Do you have a team?
A little bit. I think I bought Madden 2010, maybe. I remember watching Tom Brady come back and beat the Falcons. I think that was 2016 or 17. So I followed it a little bit here and there. And, you know, playing footy in the back of my mind, I always knew I had a long kick in footy. So it was something in the back of my mind that, hey, maybe I'll go out and, you know, go try punting one day. But followed the NFL, not really college as much. So, but yeah, I knew about the NFL.
And like you said, Johnny does what Johnny does, and he landed you at the, and I'll probably get this wrong, it's the University of Incarnate Word. Is that right?
Nailed it, yeah.
Beautiful. And that's in San Antonio where you are now. It's a Div 2 college, but you didn't quite get, like you said, the summer training block to get ready. It's, from what I read, you landed and within 3 weeks, I think, you were up playing.
Yeah, I landed here August 5th, and it might have been exactly a month later, September 5th, we were in Fresno State in front of 40,000 people playing. So, yeah, I skipped all the spring workouts, summer workouts, all those, you know, terrible sled pushes and pulls you see. I skipped all that. I went straight into full practice, had a few periods of punt period, and then, yeah, we were flying off. And, you know, from August to when the season ended in November, that was, you know, about 4 months of completing a whole season and just from landing there. So I was straight into getting an agent and you're going to be at this camp and you're going to go do this NFLPA game. So it was a crazy, crazy, you know, 6 months.
So for those that don't quite understand how NCAA works, you attended university back home. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I did a 3-year degree at ACU and graduated and everything. So that's kind of why I only played 1 year. Yeah. I was technically a grad transfer, they call them. So you completed a degree, but you have 5 years of eligibility. So I did a 3-year degree, took a year off, and then 2017 was the last one. So that's why Johnny and Chappie had to kind of, you know, ship me off real quick, make sure I could get that year in. And to be honest, if I hadn't, my life would, you know, it'd be completely different to now. So I'm glad that everything's happened to this point.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was getting at. The fact that you did the 3 years, that starts your clock, that even though it's not over in the States, unfortunately goes towards your time. So you only did have that 1 year of eligibility, and that 4 months would have been an absolute whirlwind, I'm sure. But you did all right. It was, from what I found, 77 punts with an average of nearly 47. So from someone who hadn't really punted into, you know, a month of training, it's a pretty decent average over a 10-11 game season. How did you find it? And did you actually study, or because you were a grad transfer? So
yeah, no, I did. I've done 1 year of a master's in education. So, you know, it was obviously you have to go over there and to be eligible to play, you need to be enrolled in the course. So, you know, I studied. I had my classes a little different times to everybody else being graduate students. So, yeah, you know, playing and studying was a whole other aspect to it as well.
And what was the timetable sort of like while you were there?
Yeah, I think remembering back, I had a lot of classes starting at 6 or 7 p.m., finishing just before 9 o'clock again on that grad transfer schedule. There were a lot of other people that were working or coming from, you know, other places to get there. So, yeah, the schedule was usually kind of homework during the day. We had practice late, and sometimes I would actually have to leave practice early just to make sure I'd get to class. So, it was a long time ago now, thinking about it, about 6 years ago. So, it was pretty intense. And obviously the season finishes in November, but you still got classes until the end of May next year. So I was doing a lot of, you know, meeting with scouts and doing camps here and there. And, you know, I'm in LA doing an NFLPA bowl game, and I got a message to my teachers saying, hey, I can't do much work right now. I got some other stuff going on. So it was, you know, just again, it was pretty crazy, just the whole how everything worked. It was just so foreign to what I was used to.
And you, so during that part of the year, you managed to get some trials with some NFL teams. Obviously, it didn't go the way that you wanted, but did you get some good experiences out of it?
Yeah, amazing experience. It was really a motivating factor, and still is to this day. Just being in NFL facilities and talking to scouts on teams, and just the whole experience. You know, I went to the New York Jets and Tampa Bay mini camps, and just to see what an NFL facility is like. It's you know, nutrition and, you know, everything that you need and want is all there. So it's still a motivating factor to this day. And I went to, Tampa, New York Jets, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars invited me out for a tryout later that year as well.
And after going through all of that, it was about 12 months before you found the team. You signed with the San Antonio Commanders in the Alliance of American Football League. Is that a league?
The now defunct league. So all that NFL stuff happened in May, and then I actually signed the contract for that league in August. So I knew I was, you know, playing in a little while, but didn't start until February. And, you know, that was an amazing experience. You know, calling my parents in the middle of the night saying I just signed my first pro contract was still a memory I have to this day. So, we played, I think, 6 or 8 games, and we're in the middle of a practice one day, regular day, and they said, we got to stop right now. If anybody else gets injured, we can't cover your insurance or anything. Go in the locker room, pack everything up and go home. So, you know, from getting up and driving to the stadium in the morning and just not having a job after that was crazy. But, you know, I think I went to 2 more tryouts at Jacksonville after that as well. So, you know, the dream was still alive.
Yeah, you've pretty much ran straight into my next question, which was 8 weeks into your actual career, they come in and say, you're done. We're defunct. We're splitting up. We're no longer going. What's going through your mind at that point? Like, obviously, you've just said how excited you were to sign that contract. You know, you rang the family. Yeah. You ring the family back now and say, well, it's all turned to shit over here. I'm back looking for another job.
Yeah, it was really strange. And like I said, we literally packed everything up out of our lockers and just walked out. So it was really, that was just another crazy experience. In the end, all these leagues, including the UFL now, it was always to create opportunities for guys to go to the NFL. So as much as it was really disappointing to have the league fold and get, become defunct, I guess. Up until that point, I'd only played 11 games of college and 6 or 7 games if I'm right in the AAF. So I'd only just hit 20 games of experience. So for that was very valuable film and experience. So, you know, you always got to look at the positives of stuff like that and say, you know, at least I had the opportunity to go out and play and experience, you know, pro football. So I knew that I'd had a good enough season considering, you know, my very low level of experience to that point. So just got onto my agent and said, you know, can we work something out? And it was just a crazy experience and, you know, something I hope it will never happen again.
Well, I think the CFL is going pretty well. That's not going to happen. So that's a positive. You did. When I was reading and doing the research, I couldn't believe it, to be honest. So you got an invite to the Global Combine for the CFL, which I'm sure your agent had a lot to do with. But that was the back end of 2019. And then the COVID, I don't know if you heard of it, it came around and cancelled the league. So at that point, like, you'd be forgiven for thinking this is just not meant to happen at this time.
Yeah, exactly. I you know, other people have asked me that question too, and for some, it never really crossed my mind. It was always my goal to come over here and play football, a pro football at, you know, at some level, and I knew I was good enough to do it. So yeah, the whole CFL thing back in 2020 was crazy, because at first it was delayed, and then it was delayed again, and then they finally cancelled it. This was over the space of probably 5 or 6 months, where we thought there would be a season. Maybe they're going to push the season back. So they kind of, you know, wanted to, you know, just get every single possible opportunity to play, but it just didn't happen. So I knew I never ended up doing a combine. I still haven't run a 40-yard dash or anything like that. So, you know, maybe it was for the best going into my
career
now, but yeah, it was something that I always come over to here to play football. And, you know, now I've built a life and a family over here. So those things at those times where, you know, maybe you want to throw the towel in, but it just never crossed my mind.
And then you finally did get your chance in 2021, where you were taken pick six in the draft by Montreal. How did it feel when you finally got there and got into some stability with that side?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was, you know, seeing your name pop up on the board in a draft was awesome. Another dream come true. So, you know, you sign it's a 2-year deal with a third year as an option. So I knew I was, you know, as long as I played well enough, I'd be locked in for a little while. So, yeah, that was, you know, it was April, and we had to wait till July. I think they had a delayed and shortened season in 2021. So we played a 14-game season. But again, that was just awesome to get out and back playing again. I think it'd been 2.5 years from my last AAF game to my first Montreal game. So, you know, it was almost kind of like starting over again a little bit. So I just had to kind of draw on the experiences that I'd had playing. But it was an amazing feeling getting out there and playing again.
And you've had 3 seasons there now, and it's just gotten better and better. So how has all 3 of those seasons gone? And to get to where you've just come from with a great heart.
Yeah, it was awesome. My first year was very much a learning experience, I would say. You know, even in still just learning technique stuff, you know, with punting, and there's only some things you can learn by playing. So, like I said, my first game for Montreal was my 20-something game of you know, Canadian-American football. So just using that first year as, you know, a foundation for the rest of, you know, the last couple of years. So 2022 was a great year. And, you know, we'd been lucky enough. I haven't missed a playoff series yet. The first year we went to the playoffs, so lost our first game. 2022, we won our first one, lost our second one. And as you know, this year we were in a much better position. And yeah, we won our first game. And then that Eastern final was really the grudge match in the end. It was going up against the Toronto Argonauts, who were 16-2, I believe. And, you know, everyone was saying they were by far the best team, the team to beat. And no one really had any money on us at all. And to go out there and not just beat them, but we smashed them in the end. So it was a real confidence booster for the following week to win the Grey Cup. And it was really a storybook in the end. A lot of the guys in the locker room, you know, we just believed, and we bounced off each other all the time. We picked each other slack up, you know, punting wise, we had the best special teams unit in the league in the end, first in net punting. So we had great returns all year as well. So it was really a culmination of the last few years. And I consider myself lucky, because a lot of guys that played were veterans, and that was their first Grey Cup win. So, you know, you just count your blessings and hopefully it happens again this year.
You mentioned that you were number one. I'm pretty sure, which is a huge boost for Pro Kick, I reckon Jam was number two. So massive for 2 Aussies to go over there and be dominating the CFL.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of us in there now. It's going to become the Australian Punting Academy, the second one, I guess. I think there's a few more guys that might be in the draft this year too. So, yeah, we'll see how we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Before, I still want to get back to the Grey Cup and speak about that day or that game. How do you find Montreal's obviously a French-Canadian speaking town or city? How do you go with the language barrier? Is there much of a barrier?
It depends where you go. In downtown, it's pretty good with English. The way they greet you there at a coffee shop, for example, is bonjour, hi. So they're basically saying, do you want to speak French or do you want to speak English? So if you respond in French, they will speak French to you. And if, you know, I usually say hi. I did my best French, you know, practicing, but as soon as you say bonjour, they start rattling off all these sentences and like, I'm sorry, I can't speak French. And then it's just like a whole thing. So the language barrier isn't too bad, to be honest. And with a lot of, you know, French Canadians and Americans and Australians playing up in the CFL or in Montreal, all the meetings are still in English and everything, but it's still funny to hear when the French guys are together, they're all just speaking French and you've got absolutely no idea what they're saying. So it's definitely, you know, pretty cool culture-wise as well to go to a different city with a different language.
All right, so I'll do a little story before we came on. I won't repeat the words, but I feel like I'm part of it now after I forgot the Alouettes being the Alouettes and got a little bit of abuse in French. So I feel like I'm part of it now.
That's it, yeah. Honourable supporter.
So we'll get back to the Grey Cup. It was televised over here, which I think is also huge. The fact that it is reaching, you know, well outside of Canada now. And you did beat friend of the show, Jam Sheehan, which is a shame for him, but it's better for you, I guess. But it was a great game, and you come home strong to finish 28-24 in a huge win, and you actually punted pretty well, and Jam punted pretty well too. So good day for the Aussie boys, but how was it when, you know, coming home and scoring that final touchdown?
Yeah, it was crazy in the end. It was one of those things where you realise, I think because I had to punt, and then Jameson punted back to us, so it was one of those things where I think the scores, the way they were, we were hoping, we're not hoping, we were expecting to go down and kick a field goal to tie the game, I think. So in my head, I'm thinking, you know, obviously I'm a holder on field goal, so getting the reps in with the long snapper, doing the routine, and you're watching the drive, and, you know, we're making a couple of plays on third down, which is obviously the last down in the Canadian Football League for those at home. So, you know, we made a couple of crazy plays, and then we get into field goal range, and that touchdown scoring, I was on the sideline. I think I had my head down. I just heard the crowd go up, and I saw our teammates celebrating in the end zone. And at that point, you know, my kicker had to go and kick off. And when he went out to kick off, I just took a knee, took my helmet off, and threw it in the net because I knew it was the last couple of plays of the game. Just tried to enjoy it. So, yeah, luckily the boys all went out and made the right plays, did the right things, and we got over the line.
And you're wearing the hat now, which is awesome. They don't muck around. The size of that trophy that you got, it looks extremely heavy.
Yeah, it is. Just the top little cup is metal and the rest is wood. So it's it takes, you know, good two arms to lift that up. I think that's got every team that's ever won the CFL Grey Cup on it, kind of like the Stanley Cup as well. So, yeah, that's a big, heavy trophy, and glad enough to hold it and kiss it.
What an absolute honour. You said that the season's going to be kicking off in the next month, but like leading up to that, what's life like for you?
Yeah, just getting the workouts in. I've got every day mapped out up until I leave. So, you know, what days to punt and what days to work out, what days to have off. So just spending as much time with the family as I can and just getting that perfect balance. They'll be able to come up when the season starts, but, you know, camp's usually a time where you got to lock in and it's pretty intense. So, and just making sure between now and then that my body's ready to go. I've done it a few times now over the last couple of years. So just making sure I've learned stuff from the last few years. The number one thing for me is just to make sure I'm fresh and the body's ready to go, because you go into camp and you might punt 3 or 4 days in a row. But, you know, now that I've been in it for a few years and I've got a good relationship with the special teams coordinator, that was part of our success was last year, just to communicate and make sure everybody was set. You need a day off here or there. So, you know, glad I got really good coaching staff as well.
What sort of stuff are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing the usual weights, adding in a bit of plyometrics this year as well, talking to the trainer. I think that'll help with, you know, leg speed and leg power. So it's legs twice a week, a bit of upper body, a bit of cardio to keep the fat off, and then punting twice a week at the moment. It'll kick up to 3 times a week for 2 weeks coming up, just to really get a big, you know, chunk of volume in there, and then it'll back off about a week before camp.
Nice. And do you ever get back to Australia much?
I went over Christmas. Yeah, it was obviously with the schedule, it's a little tough. And then my wife's a teacher as well. So we got to kind of get my off season and her holidays lined up. But yeah, we were able to go back over Christmas for a little guy's first trip back home to see his great grandparents. My parents and my brother came over here a year or two ago. So they'd already met the little guy by showing my friends, my family. So yeah, I got back home for about 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks over Christmas. It was, much needed.
And you've said that, did you have one more year left on your contract with Montreal?
Yeah, I got this year left. Yeah. So yeah. I'll be a free agent after this year unless I re-sign. So yeah, we'll just, go out and play some football and then we'll see.
Would NFL still be a goal or a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, it always is. You just got to see what the vibe is like. Like I said, go out and have another good year this year. And, the only thing you can do is just go out and play well. It means, positives everywhere, whether it's to re-sign. And I love Montreal. You know, I've fallen in love with that city. I don't really see myself playing anywhere else in the CFL. So, the NFL is, big games, big money, and it's been the dream. So as long as I'm still kicking, I'll be trying to get up to the NFL somehow.
Yeah, that's awesome. The last couple of questions that I have, I think reading about you and talking to you now, you're a genuine inspiration to anyone who, wants to get over there and don't give up. It's not always – you can go through COVID, you can go through 1 year of eligibility and you can still make it to where you are now. So – a couple of questions that I've got just to finish off. You can tell by the pictures in the background, you've got the family life. You set up in San Antonio. How does it work when the season comes around for yourself and your family?
Yeah, so it's a lot of logistics. So I'll go out for camp. I'll leave for camp, let's say, May 8th. My wife's school year finishes May 31st, so those few weeks of camp, we will be just, distance apart. To be honest, training camp, you really don't have much more time on your hands outside of making sure the body's right, practice itself, and then film and everything. But then, starting June, she'll come up for our summer, which is June through July. So, all three of us will be up there in Montreal living, and that's what we've done the last couple of years as well. So we're pretty lucky that teaching-wise, she gets the summer break in June and July, and then kind of got to see what the schedule is like, I've got to buy at the end of July, I think in August and the start of September this year. So I'll be able to come back to San Antonio for the bye weeks and see if she can sneak up for a game or two. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of long distance there, but that's why my wife's such a huge support. She, allows me to go and play and support her. And, she's got to fly the little one up and back quite often. So just really lucky to have the family support. And with any luck, my parents will come down for a game. They're at the Grey Cup last year as well. So, it's a lot of logistics, but it's just how it is at the moment.
Yeah, yes. With the amount of sport, how have you loved, settling and moving to San Antonio? How have you found that experience?
Yeah, pretty good. It was kind of one of those things that it wasn't like a big decision all of a sudden. It was kind of something that was just happened and just expected, I guess, it was honestly the AAF team that was the team based in San Antonio. So I signed to them and I was able to live here and just go and play. So I didn't have to move for that. But it was where I got sent to college, and all of a sudden you've got these ties to the city because that's where you met your wife and that's where you played college ball and a bit of pro football. So San Antonio is really nice, and it got the River Walk and the Pearl. The weather here is really stinking hot during the summer for a long time. It's about to start now. What is it? Just start of April and through till September. It's going to be like hell down here. So get to sneak off to Montreal for a few months. Haven't had a San Antonio summer for a little while. But loving it. South Texas is a lot different to Melbourne, but yeah, really liking it.
It'll definitely help dropping those kilos that you said you need to drop when it's stinking hot, though.
Dropped a lot of kilos during COVID, just running for nothing, for fun. So, it's heat and humidity down here. So, yeah, it's a whole another beast.
honestly can't thank you enough for giving up your time, mate. You've been so good to talk to the last few weeks just trying to work this out. So my final question, I don't know if Danny's got any more, but to finish off from me, mate, what would you say to anyone who's thinking of taking this kind of path and realising that the CFL is a genuine pathway as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say definitely go and do it. Go and talk to Johnny and Chappie and get yourself down there, because they built such a reputation now that you know, everybody's heard about them, and there's such trust in the process. So, you know, going to college level and then the CFL with their global program really opens a lot of doors for Australian guys. So, you know, let's go and see if we can, you know, have nine Australian guys starting in the CFL. There's a lot of other good guys up there as well, but I would say just go and take it and just have a crack at least. You know, if the worst thing you can do is get you know, a full ride and a free degree out of it. And, you know, a lot of American colleges stack up pretty well trying to get a job after that, I guess. But keep your dream alive and, yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Like I said, I can't thank you enough. We're working on getting a Winnipeg helmet, so now we've got to get a Montreal helmet to put up in the background as well. So we'll definitely be... Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely be keeping our eye across you, mate. And like I said, all the best going forward and keeping that NFL dream alive. And we'll definitely be watching.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.